broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the network refused to use continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for May 24th in the year of our Lord, 2016. This is Hour 2 at 2. The goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, to promote God, family, and country. On your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers, it's incredibly simple. We use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution, the United States of America as our guide. We don't believe in revolution because we can really work towards a restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth using the checks and balances that our founding fathers gave us. Kurt Crosby with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're very welcome, sir. I guess the ex-commerce secretary is in the news, Kurt.
Oh, yeah. It looks like, let's see, which one? Yeah, that's right. I see him there. Anyway, he reveals there's a little bit of a problem with the economy.
A problem?
This is a WorldNet daily piece. Greg Karambos is the author, but it's the former U.S. Commerce Secretary, Barbara Franklin. Now, I don't think she's any relation to Ben, but anyway, says that free trade is good for the United States and for job creation, but she warns anemic economic growth and the failure to provide for workers who lose their jobs as a result of trade deals, it needs to be addressed immediately. Yep. I don't know what, I suppose you might have something to say here, but she went on to say, I think it's not one simple thing here. And by the way, she served as U.S. Commerce Secretary between 92 and 93. That was the final year of the George H.W. Bush administration. She said, I think it's a mix of things. It's trade, but it's economic growth. It's whether we have too much regulation. We have a tax code that's outdated. We've got a bunch of things here that I really think need to be looked at afresh. I guess she went on to say, part of the problem when you come to job loss has to do with our economy and the fact that it has been growing quite sluggishly. We really do need stronger growth in the U.S., at least 3% GDP growth, and hopefully more. We're not getting it, and I think some of that reflects governmental policies or lack of policies that would be meant to stimulate economic growth. So,
I think she's right as rain,
Kurt, thought we'd
but she's
do,
got too many generalities going on.
That's what I was thinking. You might give her some, specific recommendations on how to have a sound economy.
Same. Yeah, I think she's right on some of her points that, we got a problem. Okay, there are real problems in the economy. But what she's pointing to, Kurt, in my opinion, maybe you could call them problems. And I wouldn't disagree with that. But I would say there's a cause and effect idea going on here. And these are the effects of the real problems, in my opinion. And that's kind of where she's missing the boat, or she doesn't drill into detail enough, whatever term you want to use for this. But let's just start with this idea. Ladies and gentlemen, we have what? Almost $200 trillion in debt. You say, Sam, come on, the national debt's only like $19 trillion. Come on. No, when you talk about unfunded obligations or liabilities, if you will, the number skyrockets beyond your wildest imaginations. Even the comptroller of the currency talked about this in years ago, Kurt. I can't remember that guy's name. John somebody, what was his name?
Yeah, I remember we were at some event with him, and I'm trying
yes.
to, I don't remember his name.
Anyway, yeah, we'd have to look it up. But he was the comptroller of the currency, and he wisely talked about this. He said, our unfunded liabilities and mandates and everything else, they're going to absolutely destroy us if we don't get a handle on this. So the point that I'm getting at is the first thing I would do is I'd take a page out of the playbook of the Darrell Castle, Scott Bradley presidential campaign on the Constitution Party ticket, where they say, you know what, they're going to do their very best to start the process to wind down basically government expenditures that are not constitutional. That's where you start, folks. Because then you really take off the books a lot of these unfunded liabilities and you start to bring the debt down to a reality figure, not a futuristic assessment, if you will. So I would sunset all programs and wind down all government spending that is unconstitutional. It may take time to do so. You don't crash the plane overnight. You got to try to land the plane with as least amount of turmoil and damage as possible. So it would take, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20 years to accomplish the task. But I would begin the process and I would work towards rejecting these unfunded liabilities and mandates that there's just simply no money for. The second thing I would do is I would explain that a fiat currency system subject to hidden inflation called taxes has got to stop. You'll never win with an inflationary tax abusing and robbing the citizens of their wealth. So I would reject a fiat currency. I would start by auditing and eventually ending the Federal Reserve. And I would start by opening up money to a competing system. And I eventually want to move towards gold and silver coinage, constitutional currency, but I would let the good money chase out the bad, and it would take a little bit of time to get done. I'd first open it up, then I'd slowly but surely wind down the bad and get the government out of the fiat money printing business. And those two things alone would get rid of unfunded mandates and liabilities, futuristic type expenditures that we cannot afford or justify, and it would also then ratchet down our system to, instead of being a fiat-based, debt-based currency controlled by a government monopoly, it would be a competing currency scenario where there'd be competition and the drive would be towards honest money with intrinsic asset-based value. I would reject dishonest money. The Bible calls it, what? Dishonest weights and measures? What's the term they use, Kurt? We need honest weights and measures, honest currency, just weights and measures, I think is the term. Okay.
All right.
The sooner we move to that, the more we'll ratchet down government from their belligerent spending. Everybody will be able to have assets that they're asset-based currencies we're talking about, not debt-based fiat situations. So the point is I'd reject all these unfunded and unmandated and liabilities that we've got on the books. I would sunset all these programs and wind down unconstitutional programs. I'd return to the Federal Reserve, to the trash heap of history, and I'd move to a constitutional, just weights and measures, honest money system based on the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. The third thing I would do in the short term, Kurt, that would really make a difference is I would repatriate all the money overseas. There's literally trillions of dollars overseas that could be brought back into America that could absolutely jumpstart our economy. And I would do that immediately as well. And I could go on and on and on of the plans that I would have, but those would be the starting points. The longest term plan would be to shut down all these unfunded mandates and everything else and move to an honest money system. In the short term, though, I would get rid of the IRS. I would appropriately put tariffs on the borders to recapture the revenue necessary for the proper role of limited government. I would turn it around so that the states would pay the federal government based on good behavior instead of the federal government funding the states, thus creating an appropriate check and balance in the system. I'd push towards getting rid of the 17th Amendment. That way the states would have a legislative representative in the Senate that would represent them as the people have the counterparts in the House. Again, I would shut down the IRS. I mean, buddy, it'd be a target-rich environment for Sam Bushman, my friend. But let's make it very clear.
Well, see, that's the difference in you, and her, for example. She says we have an outdated tax system. That's it. Basically, that's her whole phrase. No real solutions, you know, just problems, you know, at least as far as I can see, and no real talk. I should say a lot of talk and no real action. You know, but what about this whole free trade idea?
By the way, I would jettison
tariffs.
I would jettison the foreign policy that we have and move towards a humble foreign policy, thus decreasing our expenditures to defend the homeland big time. And then I'd have our troops come home. And then what I would do is I'd appropriately put tariffs at the borders, Kurt. I kind of hinted at that a little bit. I mentioned it. I would put tariffs at the borders in countries that reward freedom and participate in the free enterprise system and allow their citizens to prosper and compete and do all the things that free markets allow. I'd have very low tariffs on those people. And I'd have very high tariffs on the countries that are tyrannical in nature, that subsidize markets, that abuse their citizens, that obliterate the free market due to their hostile government actions. And I'd create a sliding scale, and just simply the message would be, we love you all. We're not going to get involved in wars and foreign affairs. We're going to avoid foreign entanglements like the plague. But we are clearly going to set a standard. If you want to do business with the freest economy in the world, you got to participate in what made us the freest economy in the world. And we'll reward you proportionately to your adherence to those realities. That's what I would do when it comes to free trade. I would shut it down and replace it with fair trade. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Hello everyone, James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
If you're at all like me, you have a tough time remembering appointments and events. But ladies and gentlemen, I have the answer. It's a premier service on the internet called Memo to Me. It's free. You ought to try it. Now I never miss the honey-do items from my wife or the important business meetings. They have strict privacy protection. That means they will release your email address to no one ever. You will not get spam because of Memo to Me. Unmatched dependability. Ladies and gentlemen, these folks have been around since 1998, and they are absolutely up online all the time to send you your reminders and appointments. They have rock-solid reliability. They have 5 redundant internet connections, diesel-powered generators backing up the system. I'm telling you, Memo to Me is the premier reminder service on the internet. It's free. You ought to give it a try. And, oh, by the way, if you're not available at your computer to get your email reminders, they can even send a reminder to your cell phone or pager. I use MemoToMe.com daily and highly recommend it to you. MemoToMe.com. Memo to Me.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. One story we do not want to forget, and we appreciate Will Gregg, well-known news writer, for keeping this in the news at libertynewsdaily.com. One of our listeners reminds us of this as well, and we appreciate the reminder. Sometimes there's so many stories, it's just hard to chase them down. There's not enough resources and or time. But we're keeping up on this one, ladies and gentlemen. Jack Yantas was murdered by government, by cops in Idaho. A hostile situation, to say the least. Unnecessary as all get out. Kurt, you got details from Will Gregg on that one?
Yeah, you know, this thing happened the 1st of November, Sam. Here we are, getting close to the 1st of June. That means 6-7, you know, like quite a few months later, you know, this is that whole speedy trial thing going on. The guy was 62 years old, by the way, just so you know, if you're not caught up on it. His bull had been hit by a car. He was summoned by the deputies because the bull was, you know, just kind of being a little rough to deal with. So he came and he was in the process of basically killing his bull when apparently he was shot by the policeman that, you know, invited him to come there. Now the two that were involved were Brian S. Wood and Cody W. Rowland. By the way, they remain on paid leave. Not unpaid leave, but paid leave.
And this, in my opinion, is absolutely unacceptable, Kurt.
Well, yeah, and, you know, I guess a number of folks, I guess according to the Idaho Statesman, about 60 people called or sent emails to the Idaho Attorney General's office.
And I appreciate the 60 people answers. Doing this, Kurt, but we need 600,000 people doing it.
Good point. They want answers about this whole thing. I guess their, you know, some of their words were, "We the people ask for action concerning Cody Rowland and Brian Wood at this time. After paying their wages for 6 months, we would expect to hear any and all charges your investigation has identified, whether it be the charge of excessive force or charges up to and or including murder. We demand as American citizens that our voices not be ignored any longer," end quote. So I guess, you know, the bottom line is, folks are still waiting, huh, Sam?
Yes, and I am grateful for Will Grigg bringing it up. We want to keep this in the news. Friends and family of slain rancher Jack Yantis demand answers, libertynewsdaily.com. I agree, Kurt, and we need to keep up the pressure is the point. We need accountability here, folks, is the problem. All right, next quick tidbit. Obama is confident that the TPP will be ratified despite intense opposition. Russia Today has this piece. So, Kurt, you got, what, the Trans-Pacific Partnership or whatever it is, trade partnership or whatever. Okay, and this is like NAFTA and GATT on steroids. Trump's obviously suggesting he's against it. Obviously, Daryl Castle and Scott Bradley would say it's a horrible idea as well. But Barack's convinced, even being a lame duck, that he can browbeat Congress into it and he'll still win. Again, this is an example where if the American people put enough pressure on their representatives, I'm telling you right now, they wouldn't be doing it, Kurt. But as long as we remain silent and idly stand by, it'll be a slam dunk for the Democrats and the Republican insiders. And you and I will lose once again. Not because we have to, Kurt, but because we, by our silence, by our apathy, by our ignorance, choose that.
Yeah, it's a great point, Sam, and, you know, that's what it takes.
All right, now let me tell you this right now. Unequivocally, do not do this at home or at your local zoo, okay? Just do not, I'm telling you right now, don't do it. First off, guy gets naked, right, Kurt?
Yeah, the headline reads, "Naked man jumps into a zoo's lion enclosure." And you say, well, why in the world would he do this? I guess he was trying to commit suicide. Now, I've never heard of this way to commit suicide. It's just, you know, I mean, there are a number of different ways, apparently, but this was not one that I was aware of. 20-year-old guy, they say he was left gravely injured. Now, maybe the term gravely means, you know, you're going to get close to the grave. But anyway, I think that's what his goal was, apparently. They had to kill the two, well, they call them cats in the story, a couple of lions. This is in Chile, Sam, Santiago, by the way. I guess what was going on, you know, this guy, they didn't name him, by the way, they say he was also hit by tranquilizers as the zookeepers were trying to put the lions to sleep. Anyway, so what
the
you got is...
The lion sleeps tonight. Yeah.
All right. Ooh. Anyway, this young man, they say, 20-year-old guy, broke into the enclosure, took off his clothes, and jumped into the middle, and it shocked some families who were witnessing the attack. The zoo, by the way, they say this is what one of the zoo, let's see, this is the director of the Metropolitan Zoo there.
Curtis, he said, the zoo czar, okay?
Yeah, that's right. He said, the zoo has an established protocol because people's lives are very important to us. Oh, so they got protocol for anytime somebody takes off their clothes and jumps in with the lions. I wonder if they had to look it up on what page it was on or whatever.
And no one's
but
lying
anyway,
about the story either, Kurt.
They did say they found a suicide note. It was found in the man's clothing. By the way, clothes were unharmed, apparently. You know, this is just, like you say, one of those things you don't do at home. Now, they did say he was witnessed by a lot of children there. Parents, by the way, covered their eyes while the mauling was going on.
Well, they should have covered their eyes when the guy got naked in the first place, Kurt.
Yeah, good point. Everyone started screaming when they saw him, and apparently he was screaming religious things as he was
religious zealot going
partially devoured. Or
usually
whatever,
religious
you know.
Zealots get naked and jump into lion's dens too, you know what I mean?
I'm just thinking, Kurt, this is one of those weird stories we've never really, I mean, you know, you got to put this in one of the top most weird story.
It's weird, all right. But let me tell you, Kurt, though, I bet you one of two things. I bet you this guy's on some psychotropic drug for his depression or whatever else that drove him to the brink of suicidal tendencies and then taking action on it. And or he was on some synthetic kind of a drug that just makes you do crazy things. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty confident that it was fueled by something like that to make somebody do these kind of things. And they never make that link or that tie like they need to, Kurt.
Well, that would mess up the whole pharmaceutical world, Sam. And that's just, you know, I mean, that's one of the basic parts of our economy is to drug people with...
I don't know if I can use this term.
These kind of things.
But it might prevent copycats.
Cats. Yeah. You know,
am I allowed to use that cat term in this story, Kurt? Like that, copycats, you know?
You can. We'll allow it. But
now, if those lions were vegetarians,
you
wouldn't have a problem either.
Yeah, they should have had maybe a sign up in the lions thing there. I mean, the guy could probably sue the zoo because there was no sign that said, don't get naked and jump into the lion's enclosure because, you know, it could cause harm. I mean, I've never seen a sign like that when I've gone to the lion's.
Now, what country was this in?
I'm sure the zoo. This is in Santiago, Chile.
I think
this would have been in California.
The guy probably went to Santiago, Chile after he tried to go to Venezuela and get a hamburger. And then he probably freaked out and went to Chile and just kind of got depressed and everything. We'll talk about this. Hamburgers and chili, well, I don't know. For us, they're on the dollar menu. I'll just say that.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
U.S. Magistrate Judge Cam Fehrenbach has denied a motion requesting pretrial release for Dave Bundy, the 38-year-old son of Nevada rancher Cliven Bundy, on charges arising from the April 2014 confrontation between the Bundy family and their supporters and armed agents of the BLM. Dave Bundy, who was arrested at his home in Delta, Utah earlier this year, has described his role in the standoff as that of a peacemaker, and the uncontested facts cited in his motion appear to confirm that depiction. Beginning in the early 1990s, Cliven Bundy stopped paying grazing fees to the federal government, contending that they had no constitutional right to claim lands within Clark County, Nevada. He also offered to pay the fees to Clark County, which declined to accept them. The BLM obtained a court order permitting the agency to confiscate Bundy's cattle. In anticipation of potential conflict, Dave Bundy, who had expressed support for his family but public disagreement with their tactics, traveled from his home in Delta. At one point, he video-recorded BLM officers from the side of the road and was violently arrested in an altercation that left him with visible injuries. He was released after spending one night in jail. On April 12, 2014, as protesters, some of them armed, confronted the BLM and a local SWAT team, Dave Bundy put himself in danger by acting as an unarmed go-between, seeking to prevent bloodshed. His behavior earned the praise of the Clark County Sheriff and Undersheriff, who were on the scene and negotiated with him. After the confrontation was over, Dave filed a complaint against the BLM with the Vegas Metro Police, and then went back to his home in Delta, Utah, where he was on good terms with the BLM and the local sheriff. In March, the FBI reportedly sent a caravan of 20 vehicles and a platoon of hostage rescue team operators to Dave Bundy's home and arrested him as a conspirator. He faces charges that carry a mandatory 80-year prison sentence. While Judge Fehrenbeck admitted that Bundy had not committed an overt act of violence, has no criminal record, and has substantial ties to his southern Utah community, he considered the defendant a danger to the community because of his attitude toward the federal government, as displayed by an instance in which he referred to it as a foreign entity. If you want a win-win-win opportunity for patriots, think GiveMeLibertyFund.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Now, in the freest country in the world, the United States of America, don't email me or call me and try to debate this with me. A hamburger can cost anywhere from, 69 cents on sale, a small hamburger, all the way on up to, a $6 burger at Carl's Jr., on up to $8, $10, $12 for some of the most fancy burgers with all the toppings and everything else. The average hamburger in America probably costed around $5 or so. It's a little different in the less than freedom loving country of Venezuela, Kurt.
Well, yeah, and the Liberty News Daily boys have the headline, "Want to buy a burger in Caracas? You might need to take out a loan." Yeah, then he says, in Venezuela, a hamburger of the kind found on McDonald's dollar menu going to cost about $170. That's according to the Independent of London. The IMF says that inflation in Venezuela is now at 720%. As the currency collapses and consumer goods grow scarce. They call it reminiscent of the Soviet Union. They say the Venezuelan consumers, they're now standing in lines. At least they got something to do at government-operated grocery stores.
If that doesn't tell you the problem right there, I don't know what does. Government-operated grocery stores? Come on.
Good point. Yeah, they say they don't know what they can buy, but they do get in line as fast as they can with their rapidly devaluing currency, kind of shades of the whole German deal where they used to get paid in the morning. They had to hurry up and go buy something or else it wasn't worth anything by the afternoon.
Yeah.
They say sometimes they get in front of the line, they find out, there's nothing left for them to buy. One despondent shopper explained this to a reporter: "We do this every week and we don't know what we're trying to buy." What's frustrating, he went on to say, is when you get into a gigantic line, but they run out before you get any. Yeah.
Now, let me be very clear. When people say they don't know what they want to buy, Kurt, what they're really saying to you is this: the money is so worthless and getting worthless by the minute more so, that they just want to buy something that might have some value. And so when they say they don't know what they want to buy, they do know. They know they want food, et cetera. But what they really know is they want to get their money into something stable, and it doesn't really matter what you buy, as long as you're careful about commodities that are needed and traded and bartered and that'll hold their value or whatever. They don't really care what they're going to buy. They just want to get the money gone and the product that might hold some value or have some trade power or usability for their families. And that's why they're not really vague on what they want as much as they're saying, I'll almost buy anything. If I get there, I hope something's left. I don't care what it is, but something. It might be cigarettes. It might be alcohol. It might be whatever, because even if I don't drink alcohol or smoke cigarettes, I can trade it for food for my family, and at least it has some stability and value. By the way, Kurt, for example, I don't know if you know this, but back in the days of Egypt and the pyramids and everything else, they would get paid a gallon of beer a day, and their currency was actually beer. Did you know that?
No.
And a lot of the people would sell their gallon of beer and then buy food with it for their family, Kurt. Or sometimes they'd drink a quart of beer and then sell three quarts or whatever. But believe it or not, beer was the currency for the ancient Egyptians at certain times in history. And so I'm not really for alcohol being the currency, but I guess I'd say, would you rather have a gallon of beer, Kurt, a day, or would you rather have some Federal Reserve notes every day? Well, if I lived in Venezuela, I wouldn't want their Federal Reserve notes, that's for sure.
Yep, yep. They call them bolivares, I guess, down there. Bolivares. And they say, they say it's kind of rough there. They say, you've got the official government amount that you're supposed to pay per dollar. It's supposed to be, they say, 10 bolivares for $1. But on the black market, it's 1,000 bolivares per dollar. So, anyway, that's kind of a little different, 10 to 1,000.
All right. Well, a lot of people in Utah and some of the western states like a restaurant called Cafe Rio. They sell Mexican food and stuff like that. It's very good. This is a little different kind of Rio, Kurt, and they got kind of a different experience going on. Where is that, Kurt?
Yeah.
Rio
yeah.
de Janeiro?
Yeah.
What
they call it? Yeah, that's right. It means River of January, but
except it's still the Rio de Janeiro.
They had the Olympics.
May, Kurt.
Yeah, good point. They had the Olympics a while back in Sydney, Australia. And when they did this, you've got to have all your equipment if you're going to have Olympics. I mean, you've got to have those block things they stand in to take off. You've got to have have a swimming pool for the swimming events. I mean, you've got to have everything needed for Olympic athletes, apparently. And in Sydney, they thought apparently that they needed 150,000 condoms. I guess that was what, is vital for an Olympic event. Now, the upcoming one, they've got 450,000. That's quite an increase. They're going to be all distributed down there during the Rio de Janeiro Olympics.
Now, Kurt, this is Solutions Radio.
Yeah,
and what the mainstream would say is they would say, well, we got to have all these condoms because we want people to be safe. We don't want people to get sexually transmitted diseases. And when they're involved with prostitutes or free love or anything else, we got to make sure everybody's safe and that it's effective, that people don't get pregnant and have unwanted babies into the world and people don't get venereal diseases and everything else. We've got to have all these things. I would take a different approach, Kurt.
I thought you might have some recommendations.
And my approach would be to teach people that God has set bounds for the wonderful blessing of procreation. And that has to do with the relationship between a legally and lawfully married husband and wife. And commitments should be made before God to only be sexually active with that legally and lawfully married spouse and none other. And if they had that attitude, Kurt, they wouldn't need all these condoms. We wouldn't be having the threats of venereal diseases and Zika viruses and all these things. We wouldn't have unwanted children. We wouldn't have all the ills that go along with immorality and the violation of God's laws. And so my recommendation would be to pick the higher road, Kurt, and travel the road less traveled. I might use a phrase like this: choose the harder right rather than the easier wrong, Kurt. And there is a way to go about this that is safe, that is effective, that does grant blessings to those who live such. You don't need to worry about VD. You don't need to worry about unwanted children. You don't need to worry about all these ills and problems that the violations of God's laws heap upon mankind. So the direction is clear, Kurt, and I think that we need to really consider it. I know somebody would say, how quaint, little Sammy's talking about religious again. What a crutch for a feeble mind. And they'd go off on their, you know, goofball ideas. But I'm telling you that there is stability and honor in God's laws. And when you keep a fundamental principle in mind of the proper role of a God-given family with a man and a woman at the helm, with fidelity to one another, welcoming children into the world, the family being the fundamental unit of society, the traditional family being the answer to the world's woes or problems, you start to see things differently, and you start to realize there are answers, there are solutions. And I can't fix the world by 3 o'clock, Kurt. I can't change this Rio de Janeiro Olympics needing to, you know, topping London's supply of condoms or whatever. I can't fix all that. But what I can do is set the standard in my own life and for my own family and my own relationships, and encourage others to do the same. That's my role. That's my responsibility. So I don't know. That's my take.
Yeah, just imagine. I mean, you know, they talk about the reason they've got to do all this is to promote what they call safe sex. And, you know, I would just say you have just outlined the methods.
The real safe sex idea. It's no sex until married, then only with the spouse you're married to.
You know, and when I grew up, you know, I thought that Olympic athletes were, you know, kind of something to be almost,
role model-esque.
You put them on a pedestal. Yeah. Okay. And now I'm thinking, if this is what the Olympics are all about, it's one more reason I would say, hey, not a penny of your tax dollars, and I wouldn't put any other support towards it as well. I mean, it's just,
well, and if that was the only woes with the Olympics, that'd be fine. But there's all kinds of drug use. There's all kinds of other scandalous behavior as well, Kurt, which is another, you know, discussion in and of itself. You can't have a broadcast without talking about the Donald, Kurt. But the headline says the Trump campaign retracts claim that it raised $6 million for veterans. TheBlaze.com brings the piece to us. And bottom line is, they said that Trump raised $6 million when he didn't go to that one debate, but he did raise money for the veterans plan. Turns out it isn't true. But I got a suggestion for the Donald, okay? We'll tell you about it in seconds. Liberty Roundtable, live.
From the days of the Romans, there have been legends of a fountain of youth, and now science has found a real answer to slowing the aging process. I'm Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and it's so exciting to know that Time Challenger has capitalized on decades worth of international scientific studies to bring you the most powerful mitochondrial DNA supplement on the market today. Mitochondrial DNA is the power plant of human cells, but as we age, we lose more and more of this precious material. Time Challenger promotes healing and gives cells the power to do their work. Mental cognition may be enhanced, skin refreshed, blood pressure normalized, and signs of aging might be reduced. Time Challenger can also provide enhanced recovery for athletes. Time Challenger, the first step to slow the effects of aging on your body. To learn more, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. Time Challenger just might be your fountain of youth.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. the human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here is what people are saying.
A year ago, I was realizing that I was in serious problems with my heart. You know, I had these chest pains and so on. I realized that I had to do something and quick. I didn't want to go the medical route. So I started in doing some investigating, and somebody told me about these heart drops. I got on the heart drops, prescribed dosage. Within 2 weeks, I immediately started seeing the results. This is working. I'm going to stick with it. I can't deny the fact that when I got on the heart drops initially, there was immediate help, an immediate turnaround.
To get your Extendovite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
So here's the problem. Donald Trump skipped the debate, put his own efforts together to raise money for veterans. He said he's going to care about the veterans. The problem is he claimed that he raised $6 million for them. The problem is the veterans organizations are saying they only got a little pittance of that money, $2 or $3 million or whatever. And anyway, then now the Donald, through his campaign spokesman and everything else, is saying, well, we didn't really raise as much as he thought. There was a lot of money that was pledged that now people are not delivering on. And so the Donald was wrong, but he didn't mean to be. And now everybody's kind of wondering what the heck gives. But I got an idea for the Donald, Kurt. Donald could instantly make this a success, not a failure.
Uh-huh.
It would take a little bit of personal discomfort to do so, though. Here's how you do it. You get in front of the mainstream press, which loves to cover you, and you say this. You guys are completely wrong. Yes, I did say $6 million that we raised for veterans. I have a lot of donors that promised to donate that are now reneging on their donations. Shame on them. But I personally will make up the difference. And I told you $6 million is going to the veterans, and $6 million shall go to the veterans. I mean, it would cost the Donald, what, $2 or $3 million, Kurt? Maybe out of his own pocket? But it's nothing, Kurt. Nothing. He's going to steal more than that from the taxpayers for his general election anyway.
All right. How's he going to do that?
Well, because you get all kinds of government money when you run for office, Kurt.
As far as I know, you have to agree to a certain level of spending to do that.
No, Kurt, you get that anyway. Yeah. You got National Public Radio covering the Donald almost wall to wall, and you and I fund that sucker.
Yeah. Okay.
He's got millions and millions of dollars in free media coverage at our expense already. Not to mention some of the other money that you get even in spite of. For example, as far as I understand, every move Donald makes, the Secret Service covers at our expense, right, Kurt?
Yeah.
And the Donald's not paying the Secret Service, is he? Or are you and I paying for that?
I think they're on our dime.
So let me count the ways Donald's getting free money from you and I, the taxpayer, even if he chooses not to take the, quote, matching funds or whatever else. Okay, so all I'm telling you is it's amazing. But I bring it all up to say that Donald could put in a couple of million very easily, Kurt, shore this up, make good on his pledge, say that I apologize, I was wrong, I didn't realize some of these donors would back out, but I'm going to do the right thing, and I'm going to make America great again by leading by example, and I'm going to go ahead and do that. Mm-hmm. All I'm telling you is that would be the way to solve this. But no, right now Trump campaign has to retract claim that it raised $6 million for veterans. Leaving that like that is a horrible move. All right, Arizona lawmakers in the news, Kurt, and good for them.
Yeah, it looks like, Sam, they're concerned about that whole Lavoie-Finicum deal, and seven Arizona legislators, one state senator, and six representatives, they've composed a letter, kind of like what you've been doing, This letter's to Arizona Attorney General Mark Brnovich, I'm sure that was properly said, and Nevada Attorney General Adam Laxalt. What they wanted was they are demanding a civil rights investigation into the shooting death of rancher and land rights activist Lavoy Finicum, who, according to this Liberty News Daily story, was killed at a checkpoint by the Oregon State Police. Now, this letter, which is also sent to the governors of Arizona, Nevada, and Oregon, contends that there are inconsistencies and implausibilities in the official inquest into the killing, which took place while Finicum was traveling from Burns, Oregon, to a town hall meeting scheduled to take place in a place called John Day. Anyway, the bottom line is these boys are doing something. Let's see what happens.
And what I think we ought to have is Utah lawmakers and Nevada lawmakers and a lot of the lawmakers in the West join such calls for accountability. And I think we do need civil rights investigations here. And all I can tell you is good for the folks in Arizona. But again, Kurt, these lawmakers in Arizona, do they have 100 million Americans behind them?
I don't think
so. Are they looking in the rearview mirror? There's nobody there except for Liberty News Radio.
Let me ask you a simple question. What if Lavoy was black?
Then, buddy, this would be top billing news, and you wouldn't be able to cover anything else except for condoms and Rio and Finicum.
Yeah, good point.
Your point's wise, Kurt, to bring this up to say, see, there is an incredible double standard. Think of the coverage that Michael, what's that guy's name? Remember he was in the Missouri?
I don't remember.
Michael Brown.
The big guy that, yeah.
All right, anyway, Mike Brown, look at the coverage he got, and what about Finicum and the coverage he got? It's night and day.
Yeah, good point.
And the only difference that I see is, one, somebody believed in God-given property rights, and they were white. The other guy believed in stealing and acting like a thug, and he was black. Other than that, I don't see a lot of difference, really. Bottom line, and the cops killed him.
Yep.
Our prayers are with the Finicum family. And we commend Arizona lawmakers for their effort to demand civil rights investigations, and we hope that many people will support those efforts. We also kind of go back to Jack Yantis and plead for the same, Kurt.
Yeah.
All right. I guess pro-life Oklahoma governor Mary Fallon vetoed ambiguous and vague bill criminalizing abortion. She claims that it's ambiguous and vague, and that's why she vetoed it. It's weird to me that she vetoed the ban on abortions, Kurt, but they call her pro-life in the same sentence.
Yeah, that is
guys like me can't figure it out, you know. But she's pro-life, supposedly. Yeah. She just says it's too vague and it'll get shot down by the courts. My response is, you know what? Uh-huh. Put the courts on the defense there, Mary.
Yeah.
And if it's a little too vague, maybe you should have jumped in earlier and helped with some consistencies to make sure that it, you know. They're debating if they can push through an override regardless, Kurt. Time will tell. All right. Headline says, biblically wrong. Oklahoma lawmakers urge Obama's impeachment over transgender bathrooms. I mentioned this in my article, Kurt. Basically, Oklahoma's saying, man, Barack, you're out of control with this. Male and female created he, meaning God them, and we need to stick with this, and Barack's biblically wrong, and we got to reject it. Again, Oklahoma lawmakers, I commend them for their efforts, Kurt. And I know you can run around and say, Sam, these are just drops in the bucket. You know, it's horrible everywhere, and I understand. But I also understand that I'm focusing on some good news pieces on purpose. I commend the pro-life legislature in Oklahoma doing their best. I commend the Arizona lawmakers for doing their best. And now I'm talking about, you know, people making a difference, Kurt. And I want to commend them.
Yes.
I want to bring up when people are doing good and right. And I think we need to promote more and more good news. In fact, years ago, you and I got with some other people that were working on a project that never saw the light of day, which is sad, but it would be really cool if it did. It was called Extraordinary News, talking about the good news pieces.
Yeah.
All right, I got sad news, Kurt. A dear friend of ours died. His name was Phil Mueller. And Phil Mueller was a very well-known newsman, great friend of ours. He was Rush's boss. And he made Rush popular, if you will, by making the right choices to defend Rush. And he's passed away, Kurt. He had cancer, and he's died, and his funeral's today, and our prayers are with him and his family. Just a wonderful gentleman, a true leader, an example, a friend, a dear friend. Now, anyway, our prayers are with the Mueller family, and we thank Phil for his life and for his service and all that he has to offer there, Kurt.
Yep, amen to that. You know, there's a good guy that's did a lot of good stuff, and now he's rolling on.
Amen to that. The Utah unemployment rate, Kurt, is ticking up, they say. It's at 3.7% now.
Oh, yeah. Massive.
Well, you know, it's more than I'd like it to be. I don't like it when people are unemployed. But I will say It's way lower than the nation's average.
What I can never understand, though, is why somebody doesn't have at least one job. I just, you know, I basically see help wanted signs almost everywhere I go. I see...
I'm going to give you the answer Kurt.
Okay, go ahead.
Oftentimes it's because the government has them on the dole, and they're getting free food and free housing and free this and free that. Look at the projects all across the country. And a lot of these people simply, if they work, they just get penalized. It's like, look, Kurt, I can have, you know, say $2,100 in government handouts. If I work, I can make $2,200. Why would I do that? Now, I'm not defending that viewpoint as much as I'm telling you that that's at the heart of a lot of this.
Good point. Yeah, that's a great point, Sam.
Yeah, it's tragic.
Yeah, that's right. And the solution is get government out of the welfare situation. The churches and the individuals perform acts of charity, not forced acts of charity, but the kind where you do it willingly. Huh, Sam?
Yeah.
That might work. Worked for a lot of years, by the way.
But that's only if we can get hostile government out of it.
Yep, great point.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. 2 hours in the can. Hard-hitting talk radio. You know, a lot of people say, Sam, your radio program compared to some of the other broadcasts out there is milquetoast. You know, you're mellow, Sam. My response is we try to walk a line between hard-hitting news that really focuses on what needs to be focused on outside of the mainstream press, but yet not so hard-hitting that we froth at the mouth and lose our way and get confused. And we want to be statesmen. We want to be gentlemen. We want to stand by the principles that we believe in, which is God, family, and country. And there's a fine line of exposing and carrying and covering this news versus losing it and going the direction that's less than helpful. We try to do our best. I'm not telling you we're perfect at it, but that's our goal. This nation shall endure. LibertyRoundtable.com.